right, guys, as I said last week, we're pretty much continuing on in the same topic of sold out, which was last week's episode. I'm pretty much saying if you're really sold out, you're going to be an enemy of the world. So in James 4:4, it says, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." I don't think you want to be an enemy of God. It doesn't play out very well. And we all know that God is love, but that doesn't mean he affirms bad behavior or sinful behavior. So God loving you won't keep you out of hell. Only the blood of Jesus can do that. And if you're covered in the blood, you are worthy, because when God looks at you, all he sees is the blood of Jesus. And people will say all the time, "Oh, I'm just not worthy." If you are sold out, S-O-U-L-E-D, then you are worthy, because you're covered in the blood. And that's all that God sees. He sees the blood of Jesus on you that covers you and cleanses you. The problem is repentance isn't really being preached anymore, because pastors are being castrated, and they're going to have to be to fit into their skinny jean gospel. They are telling people to conform to Satan's schemes so they can keep their jobs, so they can hold on to worldly pleasures instead of taking a stand where you might actually lose it all by going against worldly systems and requirements or mandates or conformity. But you might say suffering and hardship isn't part of God's plan or God's will. Tell that to all those apostles who were killed for taking a stand when the governments, the authorities, told them to sit down and be quiet. People want to pray for hugs and high fives, but don't want to take down the enemy stronghold and share the love of Jesus that changes people. We are too busy filling seats in a church than we are filling heaven. Hugs and high fives don't stop the mutilation and trafficking of children. We have filtered Jesus so much that when he shows up, we get offended. God created us in his image. We don't get to recreate God in the image that we want, or an image we feel comfortable with in our minds. Jesus said he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. But we want to destroy the law and remove the need of that fulfillment of the law through Jesus, so we can remove our need of Jesus. So many people hate the Bible because it offends people. And the Bible said it would, because it uncovers our condition, our sinful condition, our sinful nature. In Hebrews 4:11-13, it says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." So we must give an account. The Bible also says in 1 John 3:7-9, "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin, because he has been born of God." So Jesus came to destroy the work of the devil. And that offends many people, including so-called Christians, because they don't want to give up the works of the devil in their own life. But God is love. If you love someone and they're on the road of darkness, would you really love them if you didn't try to get them to come to the light? Would you really love them if you let them go to hell in comfort, not raising your voice to warn them of their doom? Love does not affirm or agree with a sinful lifestyle or a destructive lifestyle. If you really love someone, you're going to try to keep them from destruction. But people love the things that lead them into destruction. 1 Corinthians 13:6 says that love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. So why are people so confused? In 2 Timothy 4:3-5, it says, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. So people are going to put people around them that tell them what they want to hear. And it says endure hardship. So when you're speaking the truth, there's going to be hardship. People are going to hate you. So why will they not put up with sound doctrine? Why will they believe only what their desires tell them? And we find the answer in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. It doesn't say accept their lifestyles and affirm them. Now, it always cracks me up when people say, follow your passion or follow your heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, how about follow God? When you do that, you will get new desires because you'll have a transformed mind and you'll desire the things of God. Follow that. Have a passion for that. And people will say, what about passion? Okay, what if that passion is murder? Or let's tone it down a notch. What if your passion is being lazy? And it amazes me how much people work to get out of work. If people would put the same amount of effort as getting out of work or depending on others to provide for them or making excuses of why they aren't successful, then people would be more successful. And I know there's someone watching this right now screaming legalism at their screen as they watch this. But Jeremiah Johnson said something that opened my eyes one night. I was listening to him talk. He said, legalism always looks like bondage to those who don't understand holiness. We should pursue holiness and not the things that keep us from living holy. It's that simple. Don't play Call of Duty for 4 hours and then say you can't make it into work and display excellence because you're tired. Don't scroll TikTok all day and then say you don't have time to read the Bible or pray. After being on TikTok that long, you may not be able to because of all the brain rot you picked up that day. All right, guys and gals, here's the gospel. You are the villain, not the victim. You are the problem, not the solution. And that goes against the indoctrination of secular humanism and public education. You need to be saved from you, which means you can't save yourself. Biology is not bigotry, and reality is not discriminatory. We have given people permission to divine themselves, which is a counterfeit of God. Everything God creates, Satan counterfeits, and you're falling into that trap. A father assigns identity, but the world wants you to create your own identity. In Christianity, identity is inherited, not created. It is not achieved, it's received. And to stomp out another myth that I hear everyone say, we are not all children of God. We are all creations of God, but we are not all children of God because many are children of the devil. And you might think that's a little harsh. Don't get mad at me, get mad at the Bible. In John 8, 42 through 47, it says, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, which also means time out, which also means you would give up the things that you desire that go against Jesus if you really loved him. So to continue, it says, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. All right, I'm going to pause again. How many people do you know that are not able to listen to the Bible because it offends them? Okay, in verse 44, it says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. So people that say, sorry, I'm going to pause again. But people that say, oh, it's my truth. That there's one truth and any other truth is of the devil. Because it's not really truth because there's no truth in him. All right, I'm going to continue in verse 44. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. And guys, I'm not condemning you if you are not a follower of Christ. I am warning you out of love because I don't want anyone to go to hell. The devil condemns because he is the accuser. The Holy Spirit convicts so that you can repent and turn from your wicked ways and turn to Jesus. So there is a difference between condemnation and conviction. But if you are a Christian, Jesus tells us to judge righteously, which means get each other back on track through accountability so that we can continue to live holy lives. And I'm not saying it's comfortable, but if we humble ourselves, we can fix this. Now, when we go out to the world, we're going to notice something. We have an orphan generation out here that doesn't have an identity and are continually looking for approval. And if you don't give it, they try to make it law. But I will not affirm or pander to their bondage that they're living in because I want to see them set free from it. This is a very important point in Scripture. God said of Jesus, "This is my son who I am well pleased." When God said this, Jesus had never performed a miracle. He hadn't preached a sermon with his disciples yet. And I don't want to say he hadn't preached because he did amaze the scribes at the temple when he was younger. But the point is, Jesus lived from the Father's approval and love and his identity in the Father. Jesus did not live for it because he already had it. We have an entire generation that we are telling to be God in their own life, and it is no wonder they are breaking under the weight of that responsibility. And you know how you can tell if you are a friend of the world or a friend of God? You can tell by what people are chasing after. What are you pursuing? Will show what you are willing to compromise. Because if you are chasing after something, it means you are running away from the other thing. If you chase the desires of God, you compromise the desires of the world. You're willing to give those up. You don't care if you lose the world because of what you gain by pursuing God. And the opposite is true. If you pursue the things of the world, you put your relationship with Jesus on the back burner. If we make sin not a big deal, we make the sacrifice made for sin not a big deal. We make the death of Jesus on the cross not a big deal when we say that sin's not a big deal. If you're going to follow Jesus, you must do what Jesus did and call people to repentance and sin no more. Yes, he did eat with sinners, but he didn't go partying with them. He ate with them and called them to repentance. When people that were sinful were brought into his presence, he would say, "Go and sin no more." He didn't affirm their sin and say, "Oh, just keep doing what you're doing. You're fine. You're going to heaven because God's love." With that argument, there was no need for Jesus to go to the cross. You must do what Jesus told us to do, and that is to continue the work that he called us to do. And that is found in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When he says, "Go," he said it in the Bible, but he still says it today and calls us to go. He says, "Leave behind the world, drop the world, and follow me." In our Christian life, we must abandon passivity if we want to fulfill the great commission that Jesus gave us. But much of the church believes that we are stuck on this earth with Satan, and they have raised their white flag of defeat to him. But if we would wave our white flag to Jesus, it would become a white flag of victory. And then we would realize that we are not stuck on this earth with Satan, but he is stuck on this earth with us, the army of God. In my book, White Flag of Victory, I discuss my time in combat and the parallels between warfare in the military and the warfare in the Christian life. If you'd like to add this to your library, you can find it on Amazon and the link in the description below. If you haven't surrendered your life to Christ and are ready to come to God, I would like to lead you in a prayer in just a moment. But first, I want to be clear. Praying a sinner's prayer is not a ticket into heaven. These are not magic words. You must follow Christ and live for him. You cannot receive salvation by your own merits, but by what Jesus has already done. Ask to receive the Holy Spirit, to be filled and experience what God has for you. You will not live the same life or be able to keep Jesus to yourself if you become a Christ follower. 1 John 2:4 tells us that the one who says, "I have come to know him," and does not keep his commandments is a liar. Those commandments are to love God and to love others. If you love God, you will follow him, and if you truly love others, you will want others to experience God and give their lives to him as well. So if you are ready to pray, pray this. God, I ask for forgiveness. I believe Jesus died for me, and nothing I have done wrong is too great for the power of his blood that was shed for me. I am ready to forsake the world and live a changed life because I realize how much you love me. I love you, and I'm ready to live for you. If you made the decision to surrender your life to God and follow Jesus, I encourage you to spend time daily with him in prayer and reading his word and worshiping him for who he is. Much will be revealed to you in this time with him. Be a part of a community of believers to grow in the fullness of God and his word, and join a church that does the same. Get involved and stay accountable to each other. Also, please let me know that you made this decision by emailing me at charliemike.me@gmail.com or message me on Facebook at facebook.com/charliemikeinternational.